Elin Harris has done it again. After 9 best-selling novels about the lives and loves of Black Americans, he is back. He's known for novels depicting main characters who struggle to understand their own sexuality, including some characters living on the down low. But his new novel, Just Too Good to Be True, focuses on a straight college football player struggling with his celibacy and the hard-knock game of college football recruiting. Elin Harris joins us now. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Faraya. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So it's out in stores today. Give us a scene setter for the emotional action.
Well, it's a story, like you said in your introduction, that takes place on the college football, on a college football campus. The main character, Brady Bledsoe, is a star in his own right, and he's kind of dealing with some issues when it comes to celibacy, a promise that he made to his mother, Carmen. You know, it's a book about college football. It's a book about mothers and sons, and it's a book about what happens when secrets are kept and when a young lady enters this young man's life.
You've got so many different aspects to it, but you certainly make out the game of football recruiting to be incredibly tough, and there's a lot of journalistic documentation of that. But how did you get into that world? How did you get a peek into the world of football recruiting in order to learn enough to write this book?
Well, Farai, you know, since 2003, I returned to my alma mater, the University of Arkansas, as a writer in residence and visiting professor. And what was really interesting is the first day of class, and I had never taught. I hadn't really looked over my roster, and I went into my classroom the first day, and there were a lot of student athletes in my class, young men who I had admired because I'm a big college football fan, I'm a big Razorback fan, and here were these students, you know, these guys in my class, and I wanted to go over and sit and talk to them about football, but I was, you know, the professor, if you will. And over the next 7 semesters as I taught, I became involved with the cheerleading. I was the first African-American cheerleader at the U of A, and just got to know a lot of the students. And the idea for the book came from seeing them in the classroom with their bravado when they were around the young ladies, if you will, and then seeing them on Saturday afternoons with their mothers. They seemed like different people. And so it was just very, very easy because the interesting thing was they looked at me as maybe a contemporary, and they used to always want to talk to me. What's up, Professor E? If they would see me in the union, it wouldn't be uncommon for them just to plop down. So that's where the idea for the book came, and that's where the research started.
You also have a ruthless, sexy cheerleader with a secret named Barrett. And you yourself are going to be the cheer coach in the fall at the university. You have a history of cheerleading. Tell us about what it's going to mean to be the cheer coach. What are you going to be doing?
Well, like when I went back in 2003, interestingly enough, like I said before, I was the first African-American cheerleader at the university in the late 70s. And it wasn't necessarily a pleasant experience. But over the years, they brought in someone new over the Spirit programs, and I reconnected with the program. And interestingly enough, the first day that I came on campus in 2003, the cheer coach quit and went to another school. And they were kind of left empty-handed. And one of the athletic directors who knew of my past experience in cheerleading, and I hadn't been involved in it in a long, long time, asked me if I would mind coming down and helping for a couple of weeks until they, you know, found another cheer coach, so they hired another cheer coach. Again, that was in 2003, and here we go into the fall of 2008, and I'm still there, you know. I really, really enjoy it. The kids are so different from when I went to school. It's a different kind of arena. At the University of Arkansas, we have 24 male cheerleaders and 24 females. It's a big deal to be a cheerleader at the university or any SEC school.
Without going too much into this ruthless cheerleader with a secret, who's kind of an operative, there's a clear description in the book of cheerleading as a sport in its own right. You know,
right.
Football's a sport, but cheerleading is a sport. Do you think most people recognize that? And how tough is it?
Well, I don't think people recognize how tough it really is. You know, at the university, we do a lot of cuts before we finally get down. We have two squads. We have a red squad, which you could equate with varsity, and then you have a white squad, which you equate with junior varsity. And it's very, very tough. There's not only tumbling, but there's stunning. You know, you have to be physically fit. You know, no one can cheer without a physical. We weigh both our girls and our guys. They're representing the university.
That sounds awful to me. We'll just
I know. And I'm the one on weigh-in days to let them know it's going to happen. We never warn them.
Oh, dear. Now, let's talk in your book. You bring back Basil Henderson, who's mm-hmm. one of your infamous, delightful characters. How much fun is it to kind of have this repertoire of people that you've created over the years that you can call on when you need them?
Oh, Farai, it's the most fun in the world, because right now, you know, after I get off a tour, I go back to working on my 2009 novel, and I bring back some characters that were in my fifth novel. Basil is the only character that's been in every single novel, and I never know when he's going to show up. And we were talking about college recruiting. We were talking about agents. And everybody who's read any of my books knows that Basil is a football agent. So it only made sense that Brady, when considering the best agents in the country, would have to end up talking to Basil Henderson at some point.
There's so much in this book about mothers and sons, mm-hmm. and mothers and daughters as well. What did you want to say or explore about the relationships between mothers and their children?
Well, I have a very, very close relationship with my mom, and always have. That's not to say that we haven't had our difficulties, especially when I was at that age that Brady was, when you suddenly think you're turning into a man. But it is the most important relationship that I think a young man or a young woman will have in their lifetime. And I wanted to explore how you let go, if you will. You know, when do you let go? And when do you say, I've done the best that I can. You know, I'm going to have to trust that what I've taught my son or my daughter will be good enough to keep them in good stead in the world. Because Carmen is really worried about somebody getting a hold of Brady. You know, somebody who's going to influence him the wrong way, which is when Barrett enters. Carmen knows immediately, like some kind of, I hate to say it this way, but like an animal would know that their cub was in harm or what have you. She knows immediately that this young lady means her son no good.
What do you do to write? Writers do all sorts of things. Some people write early in the morning, some write late at night, some write, you know, 50 pages and put them down for 2 months. How do you write?
Well, it's really funny because I was talking about it to some students. I write at 5 o'clock. I turn my computer on at 5 o'clock. I turn my TV on. I'm not watching it, but I turn my TV on the A&E channel, Cold Cases and American Justice. I don't know. I'm listening, but I'm not really listening because I'm in tune with my characters. I have small yellow legal pads right by my computer, which I've jotted out a few notes of dialogue, of things I want to accomplish with what I'm going to write that day. And I write till about 7:30 or 7:45, because I won't reward myself with a glass of Chardonnay until I've done at least 1,500 words. And some days when I get around 3,000 or 4,000, I know I'm cooking and I know that it's good stuff.
On that note, many good pages to come. Elin Harris, thank you.
Thank you, Farai.
That was bestselling author Elin Harris. His new book, Just Too Good to Be True, hits bookstores today.